This is the Digital Savage Experience Podcast, hosted by Roman Prokopchuk, bringing you all things digital marketing, tech, business, and motivation. What's stopping you from becoming relentless in all aspects of life? Are you ready to become a digital savage? Let's get into today's episode.
Hey everyone, this is Roman Prokopchuk, and this is the Digital Savage Experience Podcast. Today I have with me Liam Naden. He went from millionaire to homeless in his mid-40s. This after decades of studying success. In rebuilding his life, he discovered the true reason why we get the results we do in our lives. He now helps others to overcome their problems and frustrations through his courses and podcasts. Thank you for joining me today.
Roman, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
My pleasure. So tell me a little bit about your journey. Obviously, the setup is, you know, kind of you were at one point and then, you know, you kind of lost it all. And then you navigated your way out of that. But kind of, you know, a little bit about yourself. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, you pretty well summed it up when you said I, in my mid-40s, lost everything. I went from being multimillionaire to being homeless. And it was a very strange experience because for most of my life, for as long as I can remember, I've been someone always driven to be the best person that I could be and to be as successful as I could be. And it took me all sorts of places and on all sorts of adventures trying to find the answers. How could I be the best person I could be? And I studied religion. I was brought up in a religious family. And then I studied all sorts of self-help, personal development, spirituality, motivation, all those things. I went to courses and seminars around the world. I read all sorts of books. I bought programs and courses, and you know, I'd listen to recordings how to change your subconscious mind, how to change your beliefs, how to change, you know, your thinking positive, and doing all sorts of things as well, like goal setting. I did lots of goal setting workshops and seminars, and had all my goals written out, and for a while it seemed to work pretty well. I mean, I did become very successful, certainly on a financial and an outward level. I had multiple businesses. I've always been an entrepreneur. I've always had my own business, and so you know, I was doing pretty well financially. But one thing I noticed was I had a lot of stress and I had a lot of problems, and I'd read in lots of different places, that's the price you pay of success. If you want to be successful, you have to overcome adversity, overcome challenges. You have to deal with all sorts of problems and become a stronger, more determined, more motivated person. And I've subsequently discovered that's not true. But anyway, I certainly was led to believe that stress and problems are a natural part of success, and they certainly were for me. But when I lost everything, a couple of questions occurred to me, because I literally ended up having to move in with my elderly mother and sleep on the sofa in her living room in her small apartment. And as I was lying there on this very uncomfortable bed, I thought a couple of things. I thought, firstly, why has this happened to me? Because it wasn't on my goals list. You know, I knew so much about how to create success through visualizing what you want and knowing what you want and writing it down on a goals list and planning and being motivated and positive, thinking positive and all those things. I thought, how could this have happened to me? Because it should never have happened if I know how to be in control of my life. And I really felt totally out of control of my life. So that was really puzzling to me. And the other question I had, of course, at the time was, what on earth do I do now? Because I thought, all this stuff, all this information, I can't think how this is going to help me to get out of the mess that I'm in. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to earn some money again. I'd lost all my businesses. I was in a town that I hadn't been for many years, so I had no friends, no contacts, and no ideas. So that was really puzzling. But what happened after that was quite interesting, because when I rebuilt my life, which I, you know, you get through these experiences and you start to go back up the other side. And I noticed, well, what I started to do was start making money again, setting up new businesses. But I noticed something quite different about what was happening in my life compared to before. And that was really, to sum it up, if you like, was to say, whereas before I'd been chasing after success, I'd been always thinking, what's the next thing? What's the bigger goal? What do I need to learn now? Where's the new opportunity? How can I get more? How can I be more, do more, have more? What else? What's next? So that was me chasing after success, and with it came a lot of stress and problems, as well as some good things, obviously. But after that experience of losing everything and rebuilding my life, I was noticing that it was almost like, in a strange sort of way, the only way I could put it was to say it was like success was coming to me. I wasn't chasing after it, but what was happening was I was getting new ideas about what to do. And I'd suddenly come up with a new idea and think, hey, I could do that. That's a really good idea. And I'd do it and it would work. It would turn out well. And also, even more strangely in a way, was odd things started to happen in my life, things that we might call luck or coincidence or synchronicity. You know, I'd bump into people, sometimes who I'd never met before, other people who I hadn't seen for many years, and they would have an idea or they would have an opportunity or they would give me something that helped me further my success in my life. And the same with events. Things were happening that was they seemed to be really out of my control, but they were good things. I was meeting the right people. The right opportunities were coming along. So I thought, this is really strange. And then I realized one of the most interesting things of all, which was I didn't really have any stress. I didn't really have any problems. It seemed like everything I was doing on some sort of level, it was working out fine. It was like it was flowing along really well. You know, I was working hard, putting in a lot of effort, still am, still do, and it's still this is the way it works. But I wasn't having all these problems and stress, and I wasn't waking up in the morning dreading the day and not wanting to open my email and see what other problems I had to deal with, or going to bed at night and worrying about all the problems I had to fix and trying to think, how am I going to sort that out, which is what I had previously done. You know, I was really enjoying life. I was looking forward to the day and I was feeling great at night that I'd had a good day. And I was starting to do many of the things that I'd always wanted to do, like travel and, you know, make the money I needed to have an enjoyable life. So what I decided was I need to figure out what I'm doing differently. Because with all of this knowledge, all of these things about personal development and spirituality and methods and techniques and on how to use the brain and how to think right or how to whatever it was. With all of that, I couldn't figure out what I was doing that was different. But I thought, I need to figure this out because I want to keep doing it. I don't want to mess this up. This is working. I need to figure out whatever it is. And that really sent me on a whole new journey of research, if you like, into an area I'd never really looked at before, which was all to do with the human brain and how the human brain works. Not the mind. I've done lots of stuff on the mind, you know, the subconscious mind. We've all heard about all that sort of stuff, positive thinking. This was to do with the brain, and that really led me to put a lot of dots together and realize, I think this seems to be how things actually work. And as I observed not only my own life, but the lives of other people as well, both good and bad, I could start to see patterns and pictures and see how it all worked and how we really do get the results we do in our life and how many of us are not getting what we want and why we're not getting what we want. And also when we do get what we want, the real reason why we get it. So that's the basis of what my work now is, teaching and helping other people to understand and get better results in their life by having that understanding.
And how long did it kind of take you to get out of, I guess, that point? So from, you know, losing your businesses to, you know, essentially going back with your mom on the couch, how long was that process to kind of get back on your feet and start, you know, accomplishing and then getting these kind of unexpected successes?
It was quite a few months, at least maybe even a couple of years. I mean, I fortunately moved out of my mother's apartment within a year, but it was a while. It didn't happen straight away. but it was also a gradual process of more understanding. And, you know, I didn't just wake up one morning and won the lottery or anything like that, but it was a gradual process. But at least a year, 2 to 3 years before I was really getting going again properly with momentum.
Then do you think, well, obviously everything happens in life for a reason, but kind of like that step back and kind of a reset and start over, do you think it like, well, it did rejuvenate you and created kind of a different mindset in terms of how you reach success without the stress? Do you think eventually, even if you didn't lose, you know, your initial businesses, eventually you probably would have or would have burnt out in the way based on the stress that you were, you know, getting from those situations in terms of the approach that you were kind of, like you said, in a way, looking for success or kind of chasing it. And it wasn't necessarily like, you know, a process where it was kind of naturally in a way coming to you based on, you know, how you were, what you were doing and, you know, your thought processes.
Well, I probably would have been like most people, and certainly most of the people who I've worked with or met who are on that journey to be successful, and that is you just struggle along, you just carry on, you move from one stressful situation to another, and you just think that's the way life is. So I probably would have been like that if I hadn't had, as you mentioned, really the great gift of being forced really to change direction by losing everything. And the sad thing is, as I say, with most of the people I work with, and I do help people, entrepreneurs, a part of the group of people I help many entrepreneurs to do this. And I think most people are on this journey of wanting more success, but not really knowing how to get there or what even success really looks like, apart from thinking it's being having a lot of money and fame maybe. But they, you know, they spend their whole life on this treadmill of struggle and stress and really just feeling, well, this is, as I said, this is the way we're supposed to be. It's not, but it's the expectation. And unfortunately, that's what happens for most people.
Yeah, I agree. And I think most people create it as a destination. So you have to reach the goal. When you reach the goal, then it's like successful. You're successful and you get some kind of obviously validation and you can, you know, take your foot off the brakes in a way. But I think it's more so about enjoying the process and it's about the journey itself. So enjoying the journey and like you said, having a mindset where it's, you know, you're not chasing to get somewhere, but, you know, figuring out, maneuvering and taking opportunity in terms of, you know, the things that come to you. There's, you know, have been unexpected opportunities that came to me that were packaged in the way that I didn't expect them. Like that wasn't my, you know, path to where I wanted to get or reach a specific goal, but basically like taking a step back and taking advantage of them or seeing how it could possibly be a blessing and possibly help me along my way, I think was big for me as well.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately, many people would say they don't have the luxury of being able to do that because they're under so much pressure. People feel under so much pressure with, you know, their own expectations. But if they've got a business or really society today creates a lot of pressure and expectation on people. And so sometimes people say to me, well, it's all very well for you to say you can just let go and, you know, stop struggling. But I've got all these things I need to fix in my life. So it's about taking a different approach and really about understanding who you are and how you, as I said right at the beginning, my mission is to help people understand how we really do get the results we get in our life. And, you know, struggle is not supposed to be a part of that.
Yeah. And I think entrepreneurship, business ownership, any kind of endeavor like that is a lonely journey with a lot of stress tied to it in general, because if you have, let's say, employees, you're worried about their well-being, you know, if they can feed their families, and it's, I mean, in terms of mental health and things like a higher rate of suicide and in startups and kind of situations like the tech scene, that's already kind of a lonely journey, and people don't know how to, I guess, recalibrate how they think or get the support system or get kind of, you know, out of a rut in a way to really enjoy it. I mean, there's been situations in my life, like, you know, you mentioned, you know, I reached a certain level of success, but I didn't enjoy it as much because it was so much like you said, like stress and a lot of like burdens kind of carried with it. And when I kind of like took a step back and really reevaluated my approach, I think it does happen with situations, like life-changing situations. Like, you had to rebuild and restart. Sometimes in your personal life, if you have a tragedy or something unexpected happen, it could be like the deciding point or the changing point in terms of how you kind of decide to live your life differently or how to think about things differently. So I think a lot of people need that kind of trigger, but obviously if you can avoid it to get to a certain point and the way that like you go about your journey, I think is key as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it all comes down to whether you consciously or unconsciously know it, how your brain actually controls the outcome of your life, then a lot of that is to do with the way you handle stress, or what you call stress, or how you handle situations. That's the key to it, really.
Yeah, and I think as I got older, the way I handle a situation now versus how I would handle it 10 years ago is a lot different, just based on experience and going through those kind of, you know, I guess, I don't know if I would call them hardships, but I guess tough times or tough situations, and really learning from them as well and utilizing that experience to then kind of build on my, I guess, emotional empathy or, you know, emotional IQ, if you will, as well. So what motivates you to succeed? Obviously those motivations may have changed over time, and with you know, original businesses, how you got to a certain level of success, but what currently motivates you to succeed?
Well, it's a very interesting phrase, motivates you to succeed. What is being motivated to succeed? And in fact, what is success when you really think about it? And you know, I've talked to many people, been on many shows where people have asked me, you know, what's your definition of success? And to me, it's a really strange question, because there is only one definition of success. And it's the definition that all of science, all of religion, all of spirituality, all of philosophy has said throughout history what success is. So I don't know why we're confused about what success is, or why we keep thinking there's lots of definitions when there is only one. And that definition is being happy. You know, that is what success is. Everything else that you think that you want, it, or that you call success, is not success. It's just that what you think you need for you to be happy. So success means being rich or being famous or whatever. You don't want those things. You just want how it makes you feel. You think by having all of the money, having the great relationship, having the great business, whatever it is, that it's going to make you happy. It's going to make you feel good. So when it comes down to what motivates you towards success, there is only one thing you need to be motivated towards, and that's what I'm motivated towards. How can I be happy? How can I be happy right now? And funnily enough, this ties in with how your brain works. There's actually four parts to your brain, and they're designed to work in a particular way, which unfortunately very few people understand. But your brain is designed to ensure that you are happy right now, because when you are happy right now, your brain is going to be able to give you all of the things in your life that will make you happy as well. So it becomes like a circle, if you like. When you are happy, you attract, or you become, or you get more of the things that make you happy. So the real definition of success is, am I feeling happy right now? If you're feeling happy, if you're feeling good, you are successful, biologically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally successful. And that's really what motivates me, is to say, well, how can I feel happy right now? Because when I'm happy right now, my brain, the part of my brain that controls that really controls my life, is being activated, and the right things are going to happen in my life.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I guess the triggers to being happy, like, What do you think? At one point in your life, one thing makes you happy, and then maybe that doesn't. Or is it a realization that that doesn't? You reach it, and then it's a temporary happiness, like a dopamine hit, like, you know, like you said, fame or notoriety or wealth, because it's not coupled with something else, and it's kind of a temporary fix.
Well, the thing is, here's another really interesting thing that I realized that I never had before, which again is taught by religion and philosophy and even science. And that is, whatever happens in your life doesn't determine whether you feel happy or not. It doesn't determine how you feel. Anything that happens in your life or what you have is not the determinant of how you feel, but it's the meaning that you give to what happens in your life. That's what determines how you feel. So you could have one, and we know this, and I've met people, I was one, really successful, had, you know, millions, and I'd be on holiday somewhere really nice, and I'd think, why aren't I happy? I've got everything that I thought I needed to be happy, but I'm not. So we know this to be true, and we also know on the opposite end, people who go through what we, on the outside, would say, what a terribly tragic experience, who say, wow, this is a great experience. Me losing everything, best thing that ever happened to me. Sure, it was pretty tough at the time, but I look back on it and say, I'm really glad it happened. It really makes me happy looking back on the gift that gave me. So this is what's really important to realize, is that whenever you're going through an experience, it's not the experience itself that makes you feel happy, sad, or anything else. It's what you think it means. You know, a really simple example, someone comes and wants to chop your leg off. You know, a silly example. You think, well, that's terrible. Oh, that'd make you feel awful. But if the person also told you, well, if I don't chop your leg off, you're going to die because you've got gangrene and it's diseased, you'd be really happy. You know, it'd still be painful. You'd hope they'd give you some painkillers. But so it's not what actually happens. It's what you think it means. And you have the choice over, that's the great thing about it. You don't necessarily have the choice of what happens in your life, but you have the choice over what it means. And this isn't just playing with words. This is how you're designed to operate, because everything that happens in your life actually has a very positive side to it. But you have to be prepared or able, and that also comes down to how you use your brain. You have to use your brain in a certain way so that you can actually see the positive side. You know, if you really think about it, we live in the best time in history. We have more technology, abundance, opportunity than, you know, any time in history. I mean, imagine going back 100 years or 200 years and saying, you know, we've got this little switch on a thing called a benchtop, and you can turn it and fresh water comes out and you can drink that. I mean, 200 years ago, people would have thought that was absolutely incredible. And they would have, if you'd said to them 200 years ago, you wouldn't be able to have that, they would go, oh, I'd be so happy with that, rather than having to carry buckets for miles, for hours a day, you know, flying through the air to anywhere in the world, talking to somebody who you've never met on the other side of the world anytime. Why aren't we happy? We should be the happiest. So it's not about what's actually happening, is it? It's about what people think it all means. And people have it wired in through the way they allow themselves, or the way they're using their brain, really, not to be happy, no matter what happens. And so this is a game that's been set up, I think. We've set it up for ourselves. We've set up a game with rules that mean we can never win. You know, we're trying to be happy, but we can never win that game. We can never be truly happy because we haven't mastered the art of experiencing and seeing the world to see that we actually have everything we want, need, and we could be happy right now.
Obviously it's a process, but how do you think you get on the road to thinking like that, like changing your perspective and kind of starting to, I guess, appreciate things in the moment and controlling your own happiness per se? Like, what would you say is kind of like the first step to changing that kind of mindset?
Well, I think the first step is probably what I've just said, is to realize and take on board and really think about it as an idea, that maybe the only difference between me being happy and not is the way I'm looking at things. Maybe there's another way to look at what's going on in my life that means I could be happy. Because if it really is just a question of how I see things, then I don't need to change what's going on out there. I don't need to go out and try and figure out how to make $1 million or fix my marriage or find the right person or find the right job. Maybe I don't need to do that. Maybe what I need to do instead is to figure out how my brain works so that it can see the goodness in everything that's on the outside. It can interpret things in the right way. Maybe I'm looking at things in the wrong way. Maybe my brain is not allowing me to see things the right way. So once you accept that as a possibility, then you realize that your mission in life, or your or the game that you want to play, or your the journey, is not to try and fix what's out there. It's trying to fix what's going on in here. You know, it's trying to understand how to use this machine so that your interpretation and your awareness is in a way that will make you happy, that will make, in other words, make you successful. And I teach a process. It's where I teach about the brain. As I mentioned earlier, there are four parts to the brain. Our brain is a machine. Our brain is a machine that's designed to make us happy, because we're here biologically. You know, we're in a physical body and we are governed by biological laws. I mean, this law of gravity. You know, we know that that's irrespective of what positive thinking you might have. If you walk off a cliff, you're going to fall down. There are all sorts of laws. And one of the laws of nature is called the law of thriving, which means that every biological organism is designed to be the best that it can be. And that includes humans. We are literally biologically wired to achieve a state of being the best that we can be, which biologically is called homeostasis. Because, and in that state, we are being our happiest, and we are fulfilling our biological purpose, which is to survive. And we do that. The happier we are, the better the chance we have of survival. So once you accept that the game is to have your brain interpret your environment in a way that makes you feel happy, by allowing you to see the truth through the meaning you give to things, not by trying to change what's out there, then the next step becomes, well, how do I understand how to use this machine, my brain, because it's designed to make me happy? If I'm not happy, I'm not using it the right way. Because another analogy about the brain I often use is a motor car. Now, what is a car? It's simply a machine. It's a machine designed to do one thing, isn't it? It's designed to get you from where you are to where you want to go. That's what it's built for. And it'll get you there predictably, reliably, safely, enjoyably, and without a lot of effort. You don't need to struggle. You don't need to get behind the car and push it along. But you need to know how to drive it. You need to know how to use it the right way. And once you do, it will do its job. But if you don't know how to drive it and you try to get somewhere, it's going to create two things. One, it's going to create struggle. And two, it's going to create problems, both for you and also maybe the car. If you're using it the wrong way, if you're putting the wrong fuel in, if you're using the, you know, got the handbrake on and the accelerator on at the same time and expecting, you know, you might blow up the engine. So you're going to create problems. So it turns out that stress or struggle and problems like the engine blowing up aren't just applicable to the machine of a motor car. They're applicable to any machine. That's what happens when you use any machine the wrong way. You get problems and you struggle. Well, what about the machine of our brain? That's a machine. That's designed to make you the happiest you can be the best you can be. That's its purpose biologically. So if you've got stress and if you've got problems, it's logical you must be using the machine of your brain the wrong way. And it turns out most people are. And that was the difference I realized between my life before and after, was somehow I was now using my brain in a different way and I was getting different results. And this is what I've researched and now teach others how to do. It's really simply just learn that this is a machine. You just need to learn how to use it. And when you do, your life works out and you achieve what you're supposed to, which is to be happy. Sounds a little bit hard for people to believe, but that it's so simple, but it actually is. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, I think people overcomplicate things a lot of the time, and certain things that may come easily, or like a shift, a mindset shift. If they read something, they don't necessarily think, you know, is this it? Like, this is all I had to do, that kind of thing. And overcomplicating, and like you said, how we have our lives also, the pace of our lives, the busyness, things like that, every part of life in a way is overcomplicated, especially kind of in the West in a way, or at least from what I've experienced and traveling and that kind of thing. So I think a solution is, like you said, potentially simpler than people think. So I really appreciate you stopping by today. Can you let the audience know how they can find you or anything else you have going on?
Sure. Well, everything's on my website, which is just my name, liamnaden.com. And if I could mention just another thing, I've just published a new book, because one of the things I do a lot of is marriage and relationship coaching. I've been doing this for more than a decade. And it puzzled me for a while as to why people had problems. Some people had, or most people, have problems in their marriage or in their relationship, but a few people don't. And I thought, what's the difference? And this also led me to realize it's how they're using their brain, what they're actually thinking about, what they're actually, which leads to what they're doing. What you think about determines what you do. And people are doing all the wrong things without realizing it and wondering why they have problems. So I've actually written a book about relationships, and it's called Marriage Uncounseling. It's a counterintuitive approach to healing relationships and bringing back love. And this book really shows you how to get rid of the problems in your marriage, whether it be everything from communication problems or lack of intimacy or attraction, or even your husband or wife wanting to leave. It's the same principles. And when you realize that most of what you do makes your situation worse, then there's only a few things you need to change to get a completely different result. So this is like the application, if you like, of doing quite, that's why I call it, it's a counterintuitive approach. That's why I call it marriage uncounseling, because it's not about working on your problems. It's not about trying to talk through everything and fix through everything. It's actually about getting the results. So if I could mention that, that's literally come out this week, actually.
Nice. Yeah, that's a helpful resource. I think everybody can use a little help in the relationships. But I appreciate you stepping by, and I hope the listeners check out the book and get value of, you know, our discussion.
Thank you, Roman. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
My pleasure. Take care.
You too.
This podcast has been brought to you by Nova Zora Digital. Find out how Nova Zora Digital can help your company grow online. Learn more at NovaZoraDigital.com. Until next time, all you digital savages.